Well, let's get underway. We are looking at Psalm 84. I'll tell you this now because it's slightly confusing. If you've got one of the church Bibles, there's now two kinds, and they've got different page numbers, just to make our lives interesting. So if you've got it on the burgundy ones, I'm told that's the color, burgundy, it's page 476. That's Psalm 84. If you've got it in the black Bibles, it's page 508. 476 in the burgundy, 508 in the black Bibles, if you can have that open. If you've got your own Bible, it's Psalm 84, and I don't know the page number. All right. Let's pray as we continue. Lord, we have prayed for you to speak as we've heard your word read, and we trust you have spoken. So we pray now as we continue to consider what you are saying to us. Again, let us listen. Let us listen, and let us act on what you say. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is a photo of John F. Kennedy from the time he was the president of the USA between 1961 and 63. And there's his little boy playing under his desk in the Oval Office in the White House. Now, it's incredibly hard to get into that place, into the White House. Some people nowadays may dispute that it's hard to get elected into it, depending on what they think of recent presidents, but I don't know what your opinion is on that. Either way, getting into it if you're not elected is very hard because it's guarded with security second to none and they don't let people in there. So that little boy playing under the desk in that office was an incredibly privileged position he was in. I don't know whether he knew it, but he had an extraordinary privilege to play in the presence of probably the most powerful person in the world. It's a rare privilege to be able to be in the presence of the great ones. It's something that we recognize through the fact that you can bid on auctions to spend time with famous people. Apparently, and I think these are all in American dollars, there was a point not long ago where you could meet Taylor Swift for $37,000. You could be part of a private audience with the former Pope Benedict for $39,000 when he was the Pope. And you could spend the day with the former President Bill Clinton. But guess how much? $255,000. All of that money going to charities, of course. But the high prices that people pay reflect not only that they've got too much money to throw around, but also the very high value, the privilege we feel in being in the presence of someone that we consider to be great. Well, did you know that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, being in the presence of someone truly great is a privilege that you have all the time. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, did you know that this privilege is available to you? And you don't need to be the son of a president or have $255,000 to get that privilege. So today, in Psalm 84, we'll see the incredible privilege of being in God's presence. And we'll see that this is a privilege that is ours if we follow Jesus. We'll look at it in four parts. The privilege of dwelling, the privilege of pilgrimage, the privilege of our King, and the privilege of his presence. There's outlines on the back of the service sheets if you want to take notes. Let's jump into it. First of all, the privilege of dwelling. This psalm starts with some instructions, which... my fault, I forgot to make sure they were printed in the reading, so they weren't read, but it starts with instructions which are actually part of the Bible text. It's for the director of music, according to Gittith, which is probably a musical term, of the sons of Korah. There are a number of psalms from them, and as it says, it's a psalm. So, with those instructions there, verse 1 begins and introduces a major theme of this beautiful psalm. Look with me. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. The dwelling place of the Lord, that's a reference to either the tabernacle, the big tent that was used as a place of worship by the Israelites, or the temple, the solid structure which was built in Jerusalem by King Solomon to kind of replace the tabernacle. This dwelling is called lovely. It's lovely. And both the tabernacle and the temple were lovely, ornate buildings. But that's not what makes them lovely here. As we read through these first few verses, when the dwelling place of the Lord and its different features are mentioned, they're spoken of with the same kind of modifier every time, the same way. Verse 1, your dwelling place. Verse 2, the courts of the Lord. Verse 3, the birds find a place near your altars. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. See, what makes the Lord's dwelling place special isn't the place itself. It's the one who dwells there. It's his place with his presence. That's why it's so lovely. The Lord was understood to dwell in a special way in the tabernacle and the temple. And that's why, in verse 4, it's so blessed to dwell in the Lord's house. Because, like that little boy playing at the president's desk, if you dwell in the Great One's house, you dwell with the Great One. And there is no greater one than the Lord, the God of the universe. What an extraordinary privilege to dwell with the Lord. And that is our privilege in an even deeper and richer way if we follow Jesus. Because if we follow Jesus, we are brought into the very presence of God. Jesus was so completely the place of God's dwelling that, as we heard in our gospel reading, which Sam read for us, his body was the true temple of God. It was the temple of his body he spoke of. Even at that point, when the Jerusalem temple was still standing, it paled in the light of the coming of God himself in the person of Jesus. Jesus became the true temple, the true meeting place of God and humanity. And because Jesus shed his blood, his precious blood, he made a way for us to dwell in the presence of God permanently. As our Hebrews reading said, his body, broken for us, became the new and living way to enter into God's presence. His blood guaranteed our access to the presence of God at any time and at all times. Because Christ's blood is always shed for us. His body is always broken for us. So we are always in the presence of God when we are joined to Christ as his people. It's wonderful. And by extension, we have the privilege now of being the temple of God, being the place where God dwells by his Spirit. As the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, we together as the church are God's temple. God's Spirit dwells in our midst. There is no greater privilege than this, being so thoroughly in the presence of God that we in fact have become the temple of God. And before we move on, it's worth noticing just what sort of God this is with whom we dwell. Did you see that beautiful picture there of the sparrows and the swallows in verse 3, where they find a place near God's altars? You can imagine the person standing in the temple and looking up, and there's some birds finding a nest near the altars of the Lord. And it's a symbol of the fact that God has a place not just for the great ones, not just for those with the connections or the money to buy their way into the presence of the powerful people. No, God welcomes the small. He welcomes the sparrows into his presence. I don't know if you feel like a sparrow. I do sometimes. Through Christ, the sparrows are welcome to God's presence. There's a Presbyterian preacher called Donald Gray Barnhouse, and he said this. I look down some little street and see a humble chapel where a group of simple people worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, despised and rejected of men, even as was their Lord. And I know that this is the rich reality of spiritual truth. Here are the sparrows who find their nest at the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, the cross is our only altar now. We don't have another altar. That table's not an altar, it's a table. We have one altar, it's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter how small you are, if you find your nest in the cross, if you join yourself to Jesus and his cross, then you dwell in the presence of God. How wonderful. No wonder in verse 2, the author's soul faints for God's courts. No wonder verse 4, those in God's presence are ever praising him. He is such a wonderful God. And yet, though all who follow Jesus live in the presence of God even now, We don't always feel like that, do we? Life sometimes feels very ordinary. And things aren't perfect for those who follow Christ. Sometimes things seem like the opposite of perfect. And that's because of a very, very important truth. We live in the now and not yet. That's the time we live in, the now and the not yet at the same time. Where we already have a real taste of the blessings of being God's people, dwelling with Him. And yet our blessings are not fully realized yet. We're still on our way somewhere. We're still pilgrims on a journey. But even that pilgrimage is blessed. And that's our next point from verses 5 to 7 of this psalm. The privilege of pilgrimage. And many Israelites lived away from Jerusalem. And at various times in the year, they would make a journey, a pilgrimage, back to the place where the Lord was, His dwelling place in Jerusalem. And because it was a journey to the Lord's dwelling place, it was blessed. Look at verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is the Lord, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Blessed. And literally the end of that verse is something like those who have highways in their hearts. They're the pilgrims whose hearts are set on getting on the road because they want to be in the place where the Lord dwells. They want to get out on those highways, out on the road and get to Jerusalem. Blessed are they. And as they make that journey, hard though it is, passing through arid places, possibly places which remind them of bitter defeats in the past, that may be what the Valley of Baca refers to in verse 6, as they pass through those hard places, their hearts are still high, and these places become like springs to them, the places of hopeful rain, because they know where they're going. Verse 7, they keep going until they reach Zion, the hill where Jerusalem stands, and they appear before God. They make a hard journey, but it's a blessed journey because they go to be where the Lord is. Well, that too is our privilege. We are blessed as we walk towards our final, fuller dwelling with the Lord in Christ. We are blessed. We're in His presence now, always, and yet we will be fully and completely in His presence in the new creation. And the outcome of our journey is certain because Jesus has already blazed the trail for us. As we read at the end of the book of Revelation, when the journey is done and we reach our destination, the throne of God and of the Lamb, that's Jesus, will be in the city and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face and His name will be on their foreheads. Face to face with the presence of the Lord. It won't be already and not yet then. It will be just already. See, this is a picture of the fuller than we can imagine communion and nearness to God that we will have with all the good that comes from Him. That is where our journey leads if we walk with Christ. Imagine a poor woman who hears that she is to inherit a great fortune from a distant relative, an enormous fortune. She simply has to travel to a city to claim it, to sign the papers and get the fortune. And on the way, her old car breaks down. She can't get it going. But there's no traffic around, so she has to walk. It's about the last 5 kilometers she's going to have to walk. And it starts raining heavily. And then she discovers her right shoe has a hole in it. And her feet are getting really wet and blistered. Is it a pleasant journey that she's on? No. But is she unhappy on her journey? No. She is smiling from ear to ear as her feet are sore and she's getting tired. Because she is on the way to a wonderful outcome. She's walking towards this wonderful thing which makes the hardship of the journey seem small by comparison. Well, how do you see the journey that we are on? Do you think of yourself as on a pilgrimage? Do you recognize the privilege of the road we travel? Yes, it is hard at times. Jesus told us it would be. But look at where we're going. Look at our destination. And even more, look at who we're going to dwell with. Look at what He's like. Are there highways in your heart? Highways to the new creation. Are they in your heart? Well, We've seen the privilege of dwelling with the Lord. We've seen the privilege of pilgrimage to be with the Lord. But perhaps verses 8 to 9 seem a little strange or out of place here, because there's a bit of a change at verses 8 to 9. And yet, they do fit. Let's see how they do. The privilege of our King. The privilege of our King. The change here is from praise to prayer. And the prayer is for, verse 9, our shield, your anointed one, which is a way of speaking of the King in Israel. So why does the psalmist change to praying for the King here when he's been so focused on dwelling with the Lord? Well, in the Old Testament, we see so often that as the King goes, so goes the people. When there's a good King, the people go well. And when there's a bad King, the people go badly. And that includes the worship of the Lord in his dwelling place. The temple is treated badly and abused when bad kings are in place, and it's treated properly when good kings are in place. So the right King being on the right track in his right place is vital for the right function of God's dwelling place and for the right honor being given to God and to his place. And that's why it is absolutely wonderful that our King is always on his throne. The Lord Jesus is always secure in the presence of his Father. And so we are always secure in our true worship of God, because the right King is in the right place. Jesus not only died for us to bring us into God's presence, he also rose again and was enthroned permanently, eternally. As Sarah and I were looking at 1 Corinthians 15 last night, this wonderful chapter on the resurrection, and the apostle was just so determined to show us Jesus rose again. He absolutely rose again. The tomb was empty. Why is that so important? Because now Jesus is always on his throne. God has looked with favor upon him in an ultimate and permanent way. So this prayer of Psalm 84 has been answered completely, finally, in Jesus. What a wonderful privilege we have, knowing that our King is always in the right place, so we can always be confident that he is leading us in right worship of God. And so finally, we come to verses 10 to 12, the privilege of his presence. As we saw earlier, what makes the dwelling place of God so great is the one who dwells there. What makes pilgrimage to be with the Lord so much of a privilege is that the Lord is there and we're going to be with him. This psalm breathes an air of wonder and honor to be associated with such a great God, because he is such a great God. And verse 11 says this: for the Lord God is a sun and shield, his warmth and his protection. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. He is the truly great God who is good. It's worth saying here, just as a bit of an aside, the sense of blameless there is not simply the idea of being without fault, you know, without blame, as the English translation suggests, but it's more a sense of wholeness or completeness connected to integrity before the Lord, you know, that wholeness of life. But in any case, our blamelessness, our wholeness, our ultimate integrity come from Jesus, because he has walked blamelessly in wholeness and completeness and has died the death we should have died, thereby giving us his blamelessness, so that we will ultimately not have any good thing held back from us by the Lord. God is such a great God, a powerful, warm, protective, life-giving God. And it is our great privilege to be in his presence. Our greatest privilege is to be in his presence and to ultimately be able to be in his presence forever. That's our privilege in Christ. And it's so important that we see this rightly and rightly estimate the value of it, because so often we treat it as just another thing. Or it's just, oh yeah, that's, isn't it great? I get to follow Jesus. Yeah, it's great. I get to come to God's presence. No, this is the greatest thing. It's so important we estimate the value rightly. So look at verse 10 with me again. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. So let me ask you, do you see the value of being in the presence of the Lord? That it is better to spend a day in his service as a doorkeeper than 1,000 in the highest echelons elsewhere. No matter how flash elsewhere might look. Imagine a group of people who work for a small company in a backwater town, and they're visited by a person who works in the same industry, but this visitor is the CEO of a huge flash company, the biggest in the business, the market leader, the cutting edge. And this flash CEO visits this little unimpressive company, and he's very impressed as he looks around and sees the workers there. They initially didn't look like much, but actually he can see they're doing a great job. So he offers them roles in his company, and he offers them much higher pay than they can get here. He offers them a place in the big city. They get the house thrown in and the car thrown in, and he offers them these jobs. But every single one of these people who works for the little company, every single one of them, one by one, turn him down. The CEO, he can't believe it. Why? He says, why are you turning this down? I can offer you more than you can ever get here. And one of them answers him. At this little company, we work for a person who is funding research which could save millions of lives. And this person we work for is the most humble, gracious, honorable person any of us have ever met. And not only that, he pulled every single one of us out of dire situations and gave us our jobs here to get us back on our feet. So serving here is better than all the money and all the glitz and all the trappings you could ever offer us. Well, if you follow Jesus, that's like a little picture of you. If you're considering starting to follow Jesus here today, firstly, it's wonderful that you're here, but I want you to know that could be you too. He's open to applications, and the only qualification for the job is trust in Jesus. See, following Jesus doesn't always look flash. It often looks very ordinary, and some people think it looks silly. But when you know who it is that we serve, what he's like, what he's done for us, and where we're going, what it will mean to finally be with him, when you know that, a day in his presence is better than anything the rest of the world could offer you. And he's given us more than a day. He is giving us eternity in his presence. The sparrows know this. They realize they have access to an extraordinary privilege, the presence of the Lord. My friends, do you know who you serve? Do you see just who he is? What a privilege we have of being in his presence and serving him. Do you see that? Do you see that when serving him is hard? Do you see when it's hard to get up in the morning and read your Bible? Or when it's hard to keep loving someone who's treated you badly? Do you see that you are serving the one who is the greatest privilege of all to serve? Do you keep your eyes on him and his wonder and his beauty so that all the other trappings of the world don't start taking your view away and looking shinier than they really are? Do you keep your eyes on him so that you don't get more focused on the dark things that are wrong with the world and wrong with life and talk more and think more about them than you do about the wonder of being in fellowship with the great God of all? Do you keep your eyes on him? Do you keep your heart on the highways, realizing that we're on a journey with an incredible destination, with a full and complete presence with the Lord when we get there? Do you have your eyes on this great God we serve? And on the privilege we have of dwelling with him, going to be with him, of having this king who is secure on his throne, of living in his presence. Let us keep our eyes and our hearts on him, because verse 12 is so utterly true. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Let's pray. Gracious Father, you are gracious, you are great, and you give us the privilege of dwelling with you, of being your people, of serving you, of a future with you eternally. Please, Lord, lift our eyes to the true privilege that we have, so that our hearts and minds would be lifted to that privilege. Bless us to know it, and bless us to serve you gladly. We pray that in the name of our King who is on his throne, Lord Jesus. Amen.